We talk about going through the Wayne County Jail, how bad it was, and you starting to realize I can help others, and then you taught in federal prison, and then you got out. So talk about the prison experience, Wayne County defense.
Wayne County Jail was the worst county prison jail system in the country, and the best for me.
And where's that at?
It's in Detroit, Michigan.
Because that's where the main case
Yeah, about. That's where we were... The majority of us were sentenced in the Eastern District of Michigan in the city of Detroit, and most of us were housed in the holdovers, but primarily in Wayne County. They got something called The Rock. It is probably the closest I've ever been to homeless and sleeping on the streets. It's so bad there that they have this like holding tank where you sleep in a boat. You sleep in a plastic boat. Yeah, it's like a sled, right? And you got a little mat inside of there. There's no hot water. And I had to use, back then they had newspaper. People would read newspaper. I had to use newspaper between my flesh and my socks to stay warm. Like my feet were that cold. That was the first time in my life I had ever seen a man get beat naked.
They beat the clothes off.
I mean, literally beat the man bloody.
What you know what you don't know?
I do know. I remember it was a young boy named Carlos. It was a dude. He wasn't old. He was in his 30s, but he kept messing with this young dude. And the young dude snapped, and he beat the brakes off him. I remember the way it was it's some medieval stuff in Wayne County. Bars on this side, bars on this side, five bunks, two to a bunk. The toilet is in the middle. You know what I'm saying? Like open toilet, open shower. So you take a dump.
Oh, it's not even against the wall. That's right.
No, it's right in the middle. You got to put up sheets to try to cover you. Yeah, man. And the toilet, if the dude has the bed closer to the toilet, it's like maybe 4 feet, if that, away. You know what I mean? Like, you got to defecate, wash your hands, brush your teeth, all right there. So the guy... Ten guys. You know what I'm saying? You eating there, you sleeping there, you showering there. The shower's only hot from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning. You got young boys that's in the shower that when the officer comes by at like 4 some o'clock on the count, when they know it's a woman, they stay in there. Excuse my language. Until, so they primed up so when a woman comes by, they can skeet. It's the wildest. But, and the food, man, I lost 30 pounds in there, and I'm a thin guy, right? But I met some of the most humble, incredible killers.
And in there, I mean, in Detroit jail, like, almost everyone is looking at a long stretch.
Oh, yeah.
It's all serious cases.
Yeah, and these dudes don't play. Most of them have gunshot wounds, and most of them, they're just waiting to get out to hit the lick. Once they get that chop in their hand, they're killing anybody. But these were some of the best young men I've ever met that they just needed some guidance. They just needed somebody to cuff them and be like, hey, man, let's do something different. You know? These guys were...
And you were able to a little bit do that?
Yeah.
How, what sort of things were you able to intermingle with them on like that?
I never thought some people couldn't read. I thought that was something for other people. Because I had a college degree, you know what I mean? And I graduated from high school, I graduated from college. But I felt really honored and privileged that some young men would come to me and be like, help me with this word. Or they were really saying, I really can't read too good. Like, help me with this. And like, one of my proudest moments in my life is when I helped a guy write his lawyer. He was facing a case and everything. I helped him with his discovery. And he said his lawyer put the letter up on his wall because he couldn't express in writing what he was trying to say. And I helped guys write their parents, write their girlfriends, you know? And that's a big thing, because when somebody can't write or read, it comes across like you're a third grader, you know? And they feel embarrassed, but I was trusted enough. It was the first time I ever used my college degree, like, in my life. Because I had always had businesses and stuff.
The first time you used your college degree was to teach people in jail. Well, that's a good use of your college degree, but that's kind of ironic.
Yeah. So, it was a blessing, though. I don't turn my nose up at any of it that I did. You know?
And so, as you segued into federal prison, where were you at? And then you became more of a teacher. Did you have any rough experiences there? Was that a little easier? And we'll talk about the teaching there and getting ready to... how people are not prepared to reenter society, and how that you did or didn't.
Yeah, the reason that I didn't have any problems is because I respect people. I don't loud talk people. I'm gonna bring it to you if you bring it to me. I don't gamble. I don't steal. So I didn't have many problems because I'm on.
You're not into the fellas.
Yeah. I'm not into the guys and stuff like that. And I'm not looking at no other guy that another guy is ready to kill for.
Like, and they are.
They ready to kill. Like, hey, that's. Are you ready to die for that man? Like, they really on some, look, this is my woman who's a man, but I'm ready to die for them. So I didn't do that, so I didn't have any problems. But I've been on, they call it Con Air. I've been on Con Air. They call it diesel therapy, where it could be 3 months before you get to your destination. You in county jail. You on a plane. You in khakis and a t-shirt.
And you lose a lot of your rights because you're in transit. So because you're considered for your... To get visitors, that means they would know where you're at. But if you're moving, you're considered a break, like someone could hijack and break
you
out.
You're in Missouri. You're in Sandusky, Michigan.
Sandusky, Ohio.
Oh, yeah. You're in... No. I think they got a Sandusky, Michigan. Sandusky, Ohio is where they have the amusement park.
Yeah. Cedar Point. There's a Sandusky, Michigan.
You're in Sandusky, Michigan, where they like, no, this is a town. I was like, no, this is a city. They said, no, this is a town. Like,
I haven't heard of it.
So you're in places like that. You're in Oklahoma City where...
Oh, they're just pulling into like a local jail.
Yeah,
and they pay them to house you for a couple days or whatever.
Yeah, you're all around the country.
Oh, wow.
You're all around the country, man.
Oh, that must be very disorienting.
Man, it's disorienting.
Is that a punishment? I know they did it to me sometimes sort of as a punishment because they considered him as whatever, rabble-rousing with inmates.
Yeah.
But did you... Were you on diesel therapy much?
I was on diesel therapy because I had to go back to court.
Oh, like, so I was in prison. Wasn't so much therapy, it just...
Yeah, but...
It was you, because there were so many indictments or whatever.
Yeah, so you back and forth. And it'll drive you crazy. Because you're in different environments, different people. Like, you're on the move, man. And you beg to get to prison. A stationary place where you at. No matter how bad it is. You just want to get to one place instead of Sandusky, Michigan to another county jail. On a plane, you go to Leavenworth or you go to, you're in Indiana, then you're in Missouri, then you're from Missouri, you're in Oklahoma City. You never touch free ground in Oklahoma City. When you get off the plane, you walk the gate, you got two gates, you walk into the prison. You never touch free ground. Then you're there, then you go to Atlanta, which is the worst holdover in America for the feds. Then you're there and you're...
Because it's old and rough and...
Yeah, and what they do is they slide the trays underneath the door. So with the food, sometimes catches on the bottom of the door. So the rats at night, the rats are eating on the bottom part of the door because the food is stuck there. And so it's supposed to be two people in a room. When you start out, it's two, then about eight is three, then about... After 12 o'clock count, it's four, then five. Then you going up to take a piss, a man head is right near the commode.
Yeah, I've experienced that.
You know what I'm saying? So, it was... But in Atlanta, the Atlanta camp, that's when I started teaching officially. I hosted slam poetry, talent shows, Apollo night. What I was really doing was I was giving back to my community because I had been there for a while. The officers trusted me that I could put this on and bring everything together. But what it was, because I wasn't on no crazy stuff, I had a mean hand. Like, I had privileges that other people could do, but I wanted to use my privilege to help others. Like, when women and men come into prison, it's their first Christmas, they ready to kill themselves.
Yeah.
They ready to do themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you got a talent show and you see other people like you and they
you realize that life's not over.
Yeah, because like, dudes are ready to kill themselves, like, off the muscle. They like, I ain't living no more. You know, guy got 10 years, his wife done left him, he ain't talked to his kids in months before he got
10
there.
10 years seem like forever when you're at the beginning of it.
Yeah, man. You know? So, yeah, that's what I was most proud of when I was in prison. I wrote a book, too, also.
What's that called?
It's called Miles in the Last.
Oh, that's the book you're
reading. Yeah, I wrote a book.
And then which became the documentary, which everyone should go see.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, should watch online.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the lack of, recidivism and the lack of preparation you and other inmates received before leaving and your advice to maybe soon to be returning citizens or guys who are freshly out, or if they people that have a loved one that's gonna get out.
Yeah.
How can
I think what you need to do is you gotta have a plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. A bad plan is better than no plan. You can't say, I'm gonna prepare myself when I get out. Like if you've been in prison, it's just like saying, I'm gonna run a marathon. That's 26.2 grueling miles, right? You can't say, I'm gonna run a marathon today and then run it tomorrow. You gotta sign up, you gotta pay the fee, and some marathons you gotta qualify, and you gotta train. Like, you can't say when you're in prison that I'm gonna prepare when I get out, because it's too late. First thing you're gonna do, you're gonna go back to the block. You're gonna go back to what you know. And like I say, the word trap, Webster defines as an almost impossible place to escape. So why would you go back to the trap? Because that's familiar. So you gotta change. And AANA, they say people, places, and things. I've coined the phrase, trademarked soon, traps, homeboys, and guns. Because you can't be around a gun. I don't care who you are. Unless you get a pardon from the president of these United States of America, you can't own a gun. You can't go to the trap. Four things gonna happen: smoke crack, sell crack, get caught in a crack conspiracy, or kill somebody or be killed. It's just like going to the barbershop and you don't want a haircut. You don't need to be in a barbershop because one day you're gonna get a haircut. Same thing. I can't sell a dollar rock. Yeah. I can't sell an ounce, a gram, a kilo, nothing. Because all bets is off. I don't care about nothing else but getting this money. You know, so what we're doing, we've got a program called 10 Ways to Stay Free that's coming out this spring, and we're giving it away free to all the prisons across the world. A prisoner for 1 year spends 8,760 hours in prison, right? You did 10 years, that's 87,600 hours. The prisons may have a 1 hour or 2 hour pre-release class. I've taken all of this time to become a super criminal, like learning about different crimes, doing my crime better, who got popped, what did they do, what did they not do, right? And you release me and you ask me to get a job. I've never had a job, I've never had a check in my name, I've never had an interview, and I've never had a bank account. I've taken people in this building that I've hired that never had any of those things, guys that melt down plastic before they can get some steel so they can shank somebody to protect themselves and suitcase it, right? They're in the bank shaking in their boots like, what do I do? How do I sign a check? What's an ATM card? What's a debit card? Like, what do I, like, are you serious? Like, to work at Quick Trip, you got to know how to work a computer.
Quick Trip's a gas station.
Yeah. You ain't never had an email address.
So they don't know how to turn on a computer.
Like, what? That's like Sam.
They're afraid you're going to break it.
Yeah, like, I don't know how to build a 100-story building. Same thing, a computer. It's daunting. For us, it's easy. Like, we know how to do that stuff. But
it's just because we're used to it.
Yeah. But look, like for me, for instance, my father went to prison. My mother went to jail. My brother did 2 bids. My other brother went to jail. I got one brother that didn't, out of 4 brothers. So, my whole family. So, you usually do what you see. So, you got to see different to do different. And that's what we try to do. We try to provide as credible messengers to women, men, and juveniles that, look, wasn't an easy road, but this is what I did. I own a house. I own a business. I'm married. I've got a book out. I've got a documentary out. I've got custody of my son. These things are possible, but it's going to take a lot of work. And you're going to have to outwork everybody. Period. When you go to a job, act like you own it. Treat it like you own it. The boss should be the hardest working person in the business because they built the company, right? So you, I don't care if you sweeping floors, sweep the best that you can. You'll never have to worry about a job is if you act like you the boss. Work like a boss. That's what I say. That's one of my tenets on 10 Ways to Stay Free. Work like a boss. And so we've got another documentary coming out called How to Stay Free. From the judges, from the successful returning citizens instead of ex-offenders, because we're returning back to society and we're still a citizen. My citizenship doesn't get taken because I was in prison and I come home, right? So I'm a returning citizen. Like, we're just trying to help people like us. We're serving the least, the last, and the lost. And we're saying, look, you can get on YouTube and watch about gangsters and people killing each other, or Instagram models, you can go on YouTube and watch this. And we're providing it to the prisons for free. They don't have to pay one dime. It's in your budget because you got to pay zero. You know? So that's the thing. That's the path that we're on. We're trying to serve the least, the last, and the lost, and people like us, and we're credible messengers, because that judge, they don't identify with that judge. They identify with me. I'm from the projects. I lived in the crack house. I've been to prison. I didn't have money, but I also ate at soup lines and soup kitchens. So I know what that is. I know what it is when your mother on crack and you got on dirty drawers at school. Because who checking for you? You're fucking 10. Like, your mother and your father's supposed to wash your clothes. You know what I'm saying? So for me, when I went to prison, I had to hand wash my stuff. It was a transition. I had done it before. You want to clean clothes, you got to get some money. Go to the laundromat. Man, I didn't live in a house till I was in my teens. I didn't have a washer and dryer till I was 17 years old.
I ain't had one till I was 30.
Yeah. You know, I didn't live in a house that had one. The projects ain't no washer and dryers. You know what I'm saying? I'm used to incinerators on the floor.
Yeah, laundromat.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So, washer in a bathtub.
Yeah. You know, so we're trying to pivot and help people make that change. You know, and for them to look at you and say, well, you know, if he can do it, I can do it too. That's our biggest thing. Like, because you don't identify with LeBron James, or you don't identify with Michael Jordan, because they're not tangible. You don't see them. You see them on TV.
You might wear the sneakers. You can't be them, but you can think you could be a real businessman or a
yeah.
Girl for that matter.
Yeah. You could see Lil D or Lil Tony on the block. He got the best car, the best girl, the wheels. He got the best house. He eats the best. He got the best clothes. He got the best jewelry. Is the illusion of opportunity. That's another one of mine. Is the illusion. That's what you see. So that's why the crack economy is so strong. Because it's like everybody in my neighborhood underemployed or unemployed. And they're miserable. And they never have anything. So Lil D and Lil Tony, they ain't miserable. They out here balling. You know what I'm saying? They smoking good, doing everything. I want to be like him. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to change the narrative. And we're taking control.
Well, thank you.